If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Latin America, we begin with Brazil. There's double presidential news in Brazil. First, the good news is that Lula da Silva, the three times elected president, released from hospital with his physicians and staff around him after surgery relieved a hematoma pressing on his brain. He'd been complaining of headaches for weeks since his fall and recovery, fall in the bathroom, hitting his head during a shower, and recovery. The recovery had not solved the problem in the brain, the leak on the brain, and he's now back in health, his first comment since the hospitalization. However, he's 79 years old. You mend slowly when you're older. And his vigor has must compromise. The other presidential news is that Mr. Bolsonaro, the previous president, is now hectored by a new arrest of an ex-defense minister, a four-star general, who's accused of being a plotter in a fantastic episode that is not fleshed out yet. We're waiting for the indictment, which won't happen until the new year. Not only to take over the country, but also to assassinate their opponents, including Lula da Silva. That's the loose allegation without the legal language. This looks like lawfare being conducted by the Supreme Court Justice de Moraes, who was a principal in releasing Lula da Silva from incarceration for corruption so that he could run for his third term. Professor, that's enough. This is melodrama times 10. First, Lula da Silva's recovery is good news, except the economy is deeply troubled. The real is at its lowest level ever, I think, against the dollar, but certainly it's low. And the economy is not responding at the same time to the central bank. And Lula da Silva wants to intervene in the central bank to cut rates. So what we have is an economy that's caught between political actors and the strength of the dollar because of the U.S. incoming new administration. And then we have the Bolsonaro matter. Let's take the Bolsonaro matter first because that's less complicated. Bolsonaro is accused of being the top of a coup that was launched in partial success, the investment of the congressional building during the interim of celebration. And right now, there's no hard evidence. They delayed the indictment till the new year. This new arrest, is it necessary? They could have done this at any time. Or is it meant to distract from other issues? I can't read it. It's at once Shakespearean and a bit Keystone copy. Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening to you, John. Well, certainly with respect to the political future of Jair Bolsonaro, the plot is certainly thickening. My understanding was that the hesitation with respect to the prosecutor bringing forward formal charges with respect to January 8th against Bolsonaro himself is owing to two things. Technically, it's a desire to consolidate a series of different charges, but also really make sure that they have their act together before bringing that forward. And so, you know, pushing that into the new year, which, of course, also positions them to be able to make a choice of bringing that or not after U.S. President Donald Trump takes office on January 21st. In addition to that, however, it does appear that, you know, there are a series of things that have come to light with the finding of different references in memos, apparently between Bolsonaro's staffers and some of the generals, that there was at least some sort of discussion about military action and a state of emergency to avoid the taking of power of your leftist leader, Lula da Silva, who historically has been a source of great fear for the left, especially in what was perceived as his radicalized form after having spent time in prison. But of course, so we have to remember that historically, although the Brazilian military since 1985 has continued to stay out of power, they historically have seen themselves as the guardians of democracy. And so it's, unfortunate. There's probably something there in the fact that Walter Braga Neto, one of Lula's really closest advisors and key military figures, is Minister of Defense, appears to have been involved in this, or at least they seem to have some evidence that. Again, I think there's a bit of a web, but at the end of the day, also important to recall that. Technically, although there is possibility of dropping the political inhabilitation against Jair Bolsonaro, he has at least for the moment already been excluded from power until 2030. And so really the question of these other figures is kind of as the news titans, whether they choose to go after Bolsonaro for this January 8th, in addition to these other people or not.
They've already moved to disenfranchise him for running for the next election. However, that itself looks like lawfare. In other words, they don't, they're less interested in jailing him, which would take years of litigation and a trial that would give him a forum that would easily play to the Brazilian people. So you don't want him making speeches in courtrooms, at least if we follow the Shakespearean model here. However, they have disenfranchised him for the next election. My sense, though, is that can be reversed. Is that, I don't know the constitution of Brazil beyond my pay grade, but in any event, it seems to me that if they impose that restriction, it can be lifted as well. Is that your understanding?
It certainly, this is certainly putting more nails in the coffin, John. So theoretically, as I understand it, on appeal, the inhabilitation through 2030 on what was relatively minor charge, his verbal representations, that could be dropped. But bring the series of charges against military officials and others, that there was a plot to try to, overthrow democracy. This kind of harkens back to Brazil's remembered past from the 1964 to 1985 period with the military dictatorship. And so I think certainly there is the element of lawfare. There is the element with De Moraes of bringing these charges, essentially sending a warning to the Brazilian military not to intervene in those politics, and really reflecting a fear orientation of the military that's always existed within the Brazilian left. And yet at the same time, it's, clearly a way of Lula trying to, protect himself and his powers as he goes forward, using these charges that they have.
Let's move then to the economy. And this is much more cloudy. The headline, Brazil currency hits record low amid ongoing fiscal woes. The explanation from Sao Paulo and Brasilia. Market anxiety dragged Brazil's real currency to a historic low as significant central bank interventions again failed to counter market concerns over government spending. This has the real at 6.09. You tell me you can remember when it was much more dear. This is a sort of profound thing hitting an economy that is more influential in political outcomes than anything to do in the courtroom. Is this something that's happened before in Brazil, or is this unusual?
Well, certainly Brazil has had a number of periods of economic difficulty. And in general, Brazil has been famous for the administrative burden and the burden of a strong social welfare state. Back when I used to be consulting in the private sector in the early 2000s, they used to talk about the Brazil cost, kind of the understanding of how difficult it was to set up a business, et cetera. And of course, in recent years, and especially accelerating with the return to power of Lula da Silva, this time around versus his first period in office, he is not quite as bolstered by strong prices for Brazil's exports, which made it possible for him to look really good during that first period with things like his cash transfer program, Bolsa Família, and other things. And so what's happened now is that with accelerated spending, they've had severe budget problems. They've been stuck in a situation where, not unlike the U.S. economy when President Biden first came in, they had persistent high inflation rates, which forced them to raise interest rates. In Brazil, of course, everything is a little bit even more exaggerated than in the United States because of the weaker economic fundamentals. And so you've had an inflation rate, which was it gotten down to about 4%, but well higher than their target. That had forced Brazil to keep interest rates around 10%. And so the fact that worried about inflation, they actually boosted the interest rate an entire point, which is a pretty dramatic action, indicates a concern about inflation. But of course, Lula also regards it as political. But on top of the need to increase the interest rate and the worry of what is that's going to do to economic growth, and of course that led to a flight of capital, and so that's what you get from with the weakening real. Matter of fact, the real is about 20% lower this year than it was at this time last year. Again, kind of reflecting that decreasing confidence, but. Another thing that the investors seemed to be reacting to was the sense that the fiscal situation is not entirely under control. There is a basically an automatic triggering mechanism in Brazil when you run into deficit spending that you have to cut things to bring it under control. The package that Finance Minister Fernando Haddad had put forward was a little bit more tepid, a little bit less convincing than investors wanted. And indeed, there are certain things with respect to income tax reform that might actually push some of that spending up. And so in an already skittish economy with persistent high inflation and interest rates, which are really undermining investment, the investors were signaling their concern that, on top of everything else, this new package of spending cuts to bring spending in line with what the Brazilian law requires just isn't going to be enough.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, looking at Brazil, the second largest country in the Americas and vital to the success of all the Americas. Right now, caught between a plunge in the worth of the real and a 79-year-old president who's mending and a previous president who's accused of about as bad as you can accuse anybody, a treasonous plot to assassinate his rivals. We move to another story that is incomplete, Venezuela. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.